With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. Steve Malzberg here as we kick off another week on this Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 9 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. More documents, more revelations, Biden again, and now more and more criticism from Democrats, more and more criticism from the media, and this doesn't seem to have an ending. And then Biden speaks at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. participated. That was on Sunday. And he starts out by saying, y'all, he says y'all twice, which is so sick. And then today he's at Al Sharpton's National Action Network event in Washington, D.C. And he trashes police. Why do they have to shoot to kill? Why can't they aim for their big toe? You know, that kind of stuff. Trashes the Second Amendment, trashes Republicans on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. But, you know, he knows he's playing to Al Sharpton, which is another thing altogether. Don't get me started on Al Sharpton. But I want to focus at the beginning with my guest on the document scandal. So many questions day by day. The number of questions grow. And we welcome back to the show, I'm happy to say, Nicholas Giordano, professor of political science. He is also the host of the PAS Report podcast, political analyst and campus reform higher education fellow. Professor, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here again.
Well, let me start maybe at the end. I heard Judge Jeanine say today at the beginning of her show, talking about the scandal, she was filling in for someone. She said, let's start at the beginning. I want to start at the end. I'm hearing more and more speculation from people that this whole thing, this whole document scandal, if you want to call it that, is a setup designed to make sure Joe Biden cannot, will not, does not run again. Now, if that's the case, my theory goes as follows, and then I'll ask you to weigh in, not on my theory necessarily, but just on the general statement that I made a second ago. My theory goes something like this. Barack Obama was the one calling the shots when everyone jumped out of the primaries, and Joe Biden was the last man standing. And of course, Joe, this is on the condition that you run, one term only, you're in for one term, and that's it, maybe even less than one term. Sure. And now they're saying to him, Joe, remember, we said one term. And he's like, what? My son died in Iraq. I was raised in the black church. What are you talking about? And now they're saying, this guy's going to run again. And that's not what they want. So all of a sudden, his own people, quote unquote, are finding these documents all over the place. What's your take? I mean, is that so far-fetched that this is a Democrat, I don't want to say plot, I'll just say organized effort to make sure that Joe Biden doesn't run again?
Well, I mean, this is politics, and all you have to do is look to history to be our guide, where it's usually those closest to you that are the ones that plunge the knife into your back. You know, just think of Brutus and Julius Caesar. And that's what, it really is reminiscent of Emperor Cuomo here in New York, right? So he was lavished with all these praises. He won awards and he was the darling of the Democrat Party. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't the old people in nursing homes that he killed that brought him down. It was a couple of sexual harassment claims that just snowballed. And that's what ultimately took him down. Democrats abandoned him. They ended up calling for his resignation. It's almost similar to that, right? So you have President Biden, who has all these scandals. I mean, the Hunter Biden and Ukraine and all this money coming in, the Biden family business, 10% for the big guy. And yet it's these documents that are the thing that Democrats are starting to turn against him. And the question is, did he serve his purpose? And now he's become a liability to Democrats, the Democrat Party, the Democrat agenda. And that's what it appears like, that they now view him as a liability. And if you look at the timeline, I think the timeline actually justifies that type of hypothesis.
Well, talk about the timeline a little bit.
So now we know that these documents were reported to the Department of Justice on November 2nd and November 3rd, about a week before the midterm elections. You, I, everyone else thought that there would be a red wave. All the indicators were that there was going to be a red wave. And so did they turn over these documents because they felt there was going to be a red wave? They knew there would be investigations and they wanted to get ahead of it. And that's my one of my things that I'm trying to find out the answer to is, when you look at it, how long did they know about these documents? Are we really to believe in politics? There's no coincidences. So I cannot believe that a week before the midterm elections, they just happened to stumble upon these documents and then turn them over to the Department of Justice. And from there, it begins to metastasize, not right away, but slowly. So 2 weeks later, you have the Merrick Garland coming out announcing a special counsel on the Trump thing, because former President Trump announces he's going to run for re-election. And then a week ago, we hear of documents at the Penn Biden Center. Now we're hearing documents in the garage with next to the Corvette, but it's locked, so don't worry about that. Then we're hearing about documents in like a mudroom somewhere. And there's all these classified documents in all these different places. But it's not the FBI or the National Archives that's looking at these documents and determining what's classified and what's not. It's Biden's own lawyers, who I don't believe have security clearances.
Right.
I could be wrong on that, but I don't believe they do.
I don't think they do it either. No.
And they're the ones that are going through these documents, determining what documents can be turned over and which ones can. It's reminiscent of the whole Hillary Clinton saga with the emails. And now you're hearing more and more Democrats agreeing with the special counsel being appointed, starting to criticize President Biden more and more. So something's going on. There is something there. And I think that basically the DOJ is trying to cover its tracks, because why didn't Merrick Garland announce the special counsel when he announced the special counsel with Trump, if he knew about these documents, which he certainly did at the time? And I also think it's the Democrat Party saying, hey, you know what? Biden's unpopular. Even though the Democrats did have a pretty good midterm elections compared to what they were supposed to have, I think that they look at the numbers. They look at most people, including Democrats, don't want Biden to run for re-election, and that this is the way to pressure him not to announce. Because remember, he has to make a decision within the next month. He cannot kick the can down the road and delay and delay and delay. Because if there is going to be a substitute, well, they got to get someone that could has enough time where they could build out the fundraising apparatus, where they could get the name recognition. Because a lot of people, politicals like you and I, we know the names, right? So we know who Governor Gavin Newsom is. But the ordinary person out there, they have no idea who Gavin Newsom is. If you showed them a picture of Gavin Newsom, they wouldn't know who it is. They would think it's some Hollywood actor. So you have to right. give anyone else that's going to run enough time to start building out name recognition and a fundraising apparatus. And that's why I think that this is the way they get force him to not run for re-election.
Yeah, no, it's very, very interesting. And again, he might have agreed to it from the beginning. I mean, who would want an 82-year-old, you know, guy running for re-election? That's crazy. No matter who he is, almost. But Biden is
well, especially
losing
someone
it.
That's as mentally incapacitated.
Right,
as
he's
he
losing
is,
it. He's losing it. I mean, the day after day, he's losing it more and more. All right. So let's get to. I want to play cut 176. This is Andrew McCabe. I say disgraced. I don't know if he feels disgraced. He should be disgraced. Former deputy FBI director. Talking on CNN, where I believe he's a contributor, and saying that basically the Department of Justice should not cooperate with any Republican effort to investigate this whole matter in the House. Here's 176.
Well, I think that DOJ will likely, I certainly would advise them if they were willing to listen to my advice, I would advise them to take a very hard line against that. There is a clear precedent here of not sharing information from an ongoing criminal investigation with Congress. And I think that DOJ is in a very strong position to resist on those grounds. Who knows what comes of that resistance? Maybe DOJ leadership starts getting subpoenaed, and ultimately that fight will end up in the courts. And that could drag things out. That's going to be an additional distraction to DOJ, but it shouldn't disrupt the actual conduct of the investigation. So that's it'll be a separate but related set of stressors that DOJ has to deal with.
So, I mean, you know, he's urging them not to cooperate with the House and acknowledging it'll probably go through the courts, but that'll take a long time. I mean, that's kind of crazy, no?
Well, McCabe is a disgrace. He's someone that should have been prosecuted for leaking information to the press and then lying about it in the inspector general when he was investigating it. And the problem that I have with McCabe is he has no regard for the Constitution of the United States. I call these people the so-called guardians of democracy, the ones that preach that we have to destroy democracy in order to save democracy. Because I'll remind McCabe that Congress actually has the power of oversight. The executive branch doesn't get to determine when they're going to appear before Congress, when they're going to talk to Congress. Congress has oversight, and Congress has a number of tools they could use in order to enforce oversight. Unfortunately, Congress has been impotent over the course of the last few decades where they don't really exercise the power of oversight. And what I mean by that, what McCabe is saying is basically what the DOJ and FBI did throughout the last 20 years. Let's not tell Congress anything. Let's tell them we're investigating something. Let's not turn over any information. There are so many people out there that don't know that Congress requested information regarding the Boston Marathon bomber and what the FBI knew and when they knew it, and they want the documents turned over. The FBI still hasn't responded to that inquiry. So you're talking about, what was that, about 11 years ago, I think? It was
That's
a long
incredible.
Time ago.
Yeah.
And they still haven't turned it over. If you look throughout the Trump administration, you look at Devin Nunes when he was, you know, leading the charge, trying to uncover what the hell is going on. You know, what's the FBI doing? And that it was all false information. What did the FBI do and the Department of Justice? Well, they stonewalled. And they do hide behind the veil of, well, we're currently investigating something, and so we don't speak to those investigations. We can't tell you anything. But that's their way to keep silent, to protect themselves. Again, the DOJ knew about this on November 2nd or November 3rd. So why didn't the Department of Justice announce it then? Why didn't they report right. it then? I mean, this is a sitting president. The American people have a right to know what's going on. And listen, I laugh when people are like, oh, Biden had classified documents and blah, blah, blah. Look at how many of his predecessors had the same thing, whether it's George H.W. Bush, whether it's Obama. Former President Obama, whether yeah. we look at Hillary Clinton, who's the worst offender out of all of them, and nothing ever happened to them. So I don't suspect anything criminally is going to happen to Joe Biden. Nothing criminally will happen. And that's because those on top, the top leadership positions, they don't get prosecuted. If this was a rank and file government employee, they'd be charged already. They would right. already well, be charged yeah. with a crime.
Yeah, because, you know, you hear it over and over that they're already, you know, it's a fait accompli. You can't indict a sitting president, even though that's not that can be challenged, but don't expect it to be challenged.
Yeah, well, it can be challenged because at the time he took these documents, he wasn't a sitting president.
Right. That too.
And also, I look at it, he shouldn't be charged, because if he's going to be charged, well, then why aren't we going to charge all the people that previously did the same thing that he did? I'm someone that does believe in equal justice. We should have one standard and everyone has to conform to that standard. But what the Democrats want is this dual standard system, and we're going to apply it differently based on political ideology. And people like McCabe, they're nothing more than political hacks that push a political agenda. Right. He despises Trump. And so he's going to say, well, what Biden did is different. He's going to try and justify it. And they're also going to justify it because they're guilty of the same things. Remember, James Comey took classified information and he gave that classified information to the press. So they're all guilty of this and they're going to protect each other. And that's why I call them the phony guardians of democracy, because they'll preach about democracy, but they don't really believe it. Because if we did believe in democracy, Congress would have oversight over these agencies. These agencies would be compelled to answer any questions, turn over anything that Congress requests. And I could only hope that Congress starts looking at retooling these government agencies, taking some power away from them, and even eliminating agencies if necessary. They have the power of the funding, and they can do that.
Yeah, we're talking to Nicholas Giordano, host of the PAS podcast here on the Steve Malzberg Show. So when is the FBI going to lay for two questions here? And you brought it up. I mean, these lawyers of Biden's who are mysteriously finding these documents and reporting them and giving them back, they're looking through them. They don't have any clearance. Now that we know that there are documents probably laying all over the Delaware property, when is the FBI going to go in and start looking for it and tell the lawyers to step aside? When are we going to see the photographs of the FBI, the classified documents that have been found laid out on the floor and pictures taken and distributed to the media like the Trump documents were? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, and it's even worse than that, because let's look at Mar-a-Lago. First of all, the Trump team was in touch with the National Archives and the FBI. The FBI actually came out to visit the documents that President Trump had. They were secured in a place in Mar-a-Lago. They had an inventory. The FBI and the National Archives had an inventory of these documents. There were cameras all over Mar-a-Lago. We knew everyone going in and out of Mar-a-Lago. You had Secret Service protection at Mar-a-Lago. Here, we have documents in a frigging closet at the Penn Biden Center, which who knows what the security levels are there. If it's any real college, I can't imagine that there was a lot of security levels there. And then you have it in his garage. And now we're learning that there's no accounting of who had access to Biden's home and who didn't.
No
have
visitor logs. No visitor logs whatsoever, because it's a private residence. Yet he spends so much time there and does so much work, quote unquote, from there. No visitor logs. Now,
and
doesn't
the Secret Service have
to have visitor logs?
Yes, what? They do. The Secret Service, when you're the president of the United States, the Secret Service is going to vet every single individual that comes to that house to see President Biden. Every single individual that goes to that house. Even when President Biden is not there, there's Secret Service protection on the home. And this, you have to have it on the home, right? If the president's house isn't being monitored not there, what's to say a terrorist doesn't plant the bomb there?
Right.
So it's under constant 24/7 surveillance. So this idea that there's no visitor logs is a lie. There has to be some type of paperwork showing who had access to the house and who didn't have access to the house. And one of these files supposedly contains information about Ukraine. That's a file that I'm really interested in. Now, you and I both know that government overclassifies everything, but this would be a document I'm really interested to see, because is this a document where his son was trying to lobby his office, or where President Biden was trying to lobby the State Department on behalf of his son? So I think that's going to be a very important document to focus on if we ever find out what was really going on.
Yeah. And, you know, if Biden does wind up leaving for the pressure or whatever reason before the end of his term, after deciding not to run, let's just say we get the laughing hyena for the next remaining of the term. And when you leave, I'm going to play. She was at it again the other day. Believe it or not, I just love electric school buses. I mean, and if you didn't know who this woman was, and if you were able to watch her sitting in the chair, squirming, laughing, moving around constantly, and hearing her, you would think she was drunk. I'm sorry.
She's not going to be president.
Oh,
Biden's,
my
Biden's God. Not stepping down. I could tell you how it plays out. Basically, they're going to force him not to run for re-election, but he can play out the next year and a half. What's going to happen is, once he announces he's not running for re-election, this story will, you'll see it start to dissipate in the media. They'll cover it less and less and less until nobody's paying attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's a crazy world. It's a crazy country, unfortunately. I don't take pleasure in saying that, but we're finding out more and more every day on so many levels. Professor, great to see you. Everybody check out the PAS podcast. Where could folks get it, Professor?
They go to PASReport.com, PASReport.com, and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you, sir. We'll speak to you soon.
Definitely.
Professor Nicholas Giordano, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Steve Malzberg Show. Very interesting. Look, I think everything, you know, look, I think the scenario that he just pointed out is certainly feasible, true, and most possible. And I think that this is being orchestrated by, let's see who, someone in the Democrat Party who's really in charge and really they're not going to allow Biden to run again. Now, who could that be? The man who, after the 2020 election, went on national television and said, you know, I always envisioned a third term being sitting in a basement somewhere and having someone in the Oval Office with an earpiece in his ear. You think that could be the guy pulling the strings? Unbelievable what's going on. Folks, we will continue. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
This machine has been constructed. This disinformation police forces that are all over the place, they've gotten funding during COVID. First, it was to counter Russian disinformation, which turned out to be a hoax. But then it branched out and very conveniently timed for the pandemic and to stop COVID disinformation, vaccine, anti-vax disinformation, etc. So now the so-called pandemic is over, and they're having trouble sort of keeping the state of emergency alive, if you will. You've got all these organs, and they need to justify their existence. They need money. These people need to get their salaries paid so they can continue doing meaningless work off the state bankroll. So they're running around looking to cancel anything and everything. And I think they've gone a little too far and were very sloppy in condemning New Dawn magazine. And these people actually, more likely, did not even read the article in question. They didn't. They're just going by what other people in their cadre are saying. And then all these sort of far-left activists, progressive New Zealand, Ardern, supporting users on Twitter. There's a whole, the best way to describe it is a cult.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
In the ambulance, Michael says to me, "Mom, I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And so I yelled, "Help." I thought I was going to lose him. I'm in the hospital within 10 minutes. He just crashed and was put on a ventilator. They put Michael in a medically induced coma, and they gave Michael a 5% chance of survival. Nothing made sense at that point. It just seemed so crazy. I mean, he was fine, and then he wasn't.
Sepsis can cause reduced blood flow, leading to severe tissue damage to arms, legs, and other extremities.
There was no saving Michael's hands or feet. They needed to do 2 upper amputations and 2 below the knee amputations.
Sepsis causes an average of 38 amputations per day in the United States. To learn more about how to avoid the devastation caused by sepsis, go to sepsis.org.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. Steve Malzberg with you. Now, before we get to more sound regarding the document scandal, I gotta play you what I referred to with the professor. This is really, it's not funny anymore. It's sad and it's scary that we have an 80-year-old president who doesn't know what he's doing mentally in many instances, and the woman who would God forbid take over says things like this. And again, if you could see this video, this especially this first bite, and you didn't know who she was, she had a mask on and, you know, you didn't know by the voice, you would think that this is some lady who's been drinking too much and doesn't know what to say. And she's the way she moved and the way her the laughing and the giggling and the body language and the nonsensical remarks. I'm telling you, I'm not saying she drank. I'm saying you would think she was drunk. I don't know what she was. If that's just her, apparently, because we see it over and 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 over. So here she is. Last Thursday, this is via Fox Digital. She is at a climate discussion in Michigan. And first, you're going to hear her from Thursday, and then there'll be a 1 second pause, and then you're going to hear something she has said previously, which is the same thing, basically. Here's 169.
You know what also excites me? Among the many things, I'm excited about electric school buses. I love electric school buses. I just love them for so many reasons. Maybe because I went to school on a school bus. Hey, raise your hand if you went to school on a school bus, right? So here's the thing. Who doesn't love a yellow school bus, right? Can you raise your hand if you love a yellow school bus, right? Just, there's something about the, and most of us, many of us went to school on the yellow school bus, right? And it's part of our experience growing up.
Right. I mean, who doesn't love a yellow school bus? I just love them. Oh my God. Oh, and that's not the, these aren't the only two times she said this. She said it, this was the yellow. This was the electric on Thursday. Then they put a yellow one here, but she's done the electric in the past as well. Same stuff. I so many reasons. I love electric school bus. Oh my God. My God. Now here she is talking about a Venn diagram. Same event Thursday. And then they go back. I believe they go back to in the past when she said the same thing, but it's the same event. You ready? Here's 170.
Think of the movement through the lens of something I love, which is to always think about complex issues through the frame of a Venn diagram. I love Venn diagrams. I love Venn diagrams. So
see what I'm saying? It's nerdy. I'm just saying.
So the three circles, and you can do more. Nobody says a Venn diagram has to only be three circles, right? I love Venn diagrams. I really love Venn diagrams. You know, the circles, right? Three usually.
Wow. Okay, now she's giving a geography lesson. Again, same event. And then I think they also juxtapose it to the past. She's talking about the Caribbean, the Caribbean nations. God help us. Here is 171.
Caribbean nations, island nations. In the Western Hemisphere, that is where the Caribbean is. We are also in the Western Hemisphere. They are our neighbors.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
But inspired by also our collective ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been. Because we have the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Oh my God. There she is playing the role, especially with the Caribbean nations and Ukraine. She's playing the role of a 12-year-old girl reading a report. I'm telling you, there's something not right. There's something seriously wrong. Something seriously wrong. Loves those Venn diagrams. You know, the three circles. I love the three circles. I mean, what is wow. Wow. All right. Now we go to Joe Biden speaking at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. That was Martin Luther King Jr.'s church. He was speaking there. Biden was on Sunday, yesterday. Day before Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And just listen to him. To me, this is so racist. He starts, and here's what he says. This is 186.
Can y'all hear me? Yo. I've spoken before parliaments, kings, queens, leaders of the world. I've been doing this for a long time. But this is intimidating following. Y'all are incredible.
Y'all are incredible. Can y'all hear me? What the hell? What the hell? I mean, we've heard Hillary in the past. I ain't no ways tired. You know, put on the black accent when she goes speak to before a black audience. And that's That's so demeaning, and this is just as demeaning. When do you ever hear him say y'all? When have you heard him say y'all giving a speech? I mean, give me a break. So twice in 15 seconds or 20 seconds. Can y'all hear me? Of course, he couldn't turn the mic on. You got to click the little switch on the handheld mic. He couldn't figure it out. And by the way, at Al Sharpton's National Action Network on Monday today, he couldn't click the same type microphone. Could have been the same one in his hand. Couldn't put it on either. Needed people to help him. Oh, my God. I swear. Y'all. Unbelievably demeaning and you know, it's racist. It really is racist crap. Could you imagine Donald Trump giving a speech before a black audience and saying, "How y'all doing?" Like, what the heck? All right, now we go to 187. There's more. Joe Biden once again claiming his civil rights history. Here it is, 187.
Unless I lay one thing to rest, I may be a practicing Catholic. I used to go to 7:30 Mass every morning in high school and then in college before I went to the black church. Not a joke. That's where we'd organize to march or to segregate the city. My state was, like yours, segregated by law. We were a slave state, to our great shame. And we had a lot of leftovers of the bad things came from that period of time. But anyway, that's another time.
Yeah. So it's already been proven, of course, back in 1987, Joe Biden got called out for a bunch of things when he was running for the Democratic nomination for president. He was forced to drop out after he was found to be plagiarizing everybody's political speeches in the world, just about the Kennedys, people from other countries. He plagiarized it, gave no credit. He lied about his degrees in school and law school, where he stood in his class. He lied about everything. Plagiarized in law school, everything. This guy is a character of the first class, okay? So he had to drop out of the race. And one of the things on his way out, because he also claimed, as you just heard, that he marched in the civil rights movement. He grew up in the black church in Delaware. He helped desegregate movie theaters in Delaware. And then on his way out in 87, he admitted, not actually the truth. Here's 188.
During the 60s, I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement. I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else. I was a suburbanite kid who got a dose of exposure to what was happening to black Americans when I'm in my own city.
Okay, so he fessed up. He worked at a black swimming pool. That's the extent of his civil rights work, okay, back then. He didn't desegregate churches. He didn't attend the black church. He was full of crap, and he admitted it. But, of course, a few years later, it was back to this, 189.
You know, when I was a teenager in Delaware, for real, I got involved in the civil rights movement. We have the eighth largest black population in America. Most people don't know that. And I'd go to 8 o'clock mass, then I'd go to Reverend Herring's church where we'd meet in order to organize and figure where we were going to go, whether we're going to desegregate the Rialto movie theater, what we were going to do. I got my education for real in the black church. And that's not hyperbole, it's a fact. But I got my education, Reverend Doc, in the black church. Not a joke. Because when we used to get organized on Sundays to go out and desegregate movie theaters and things like that, we'd do it through the black church.
Wow. Folks, what can I say? And then, of course, you heard it. It's still the same line of crap that he just put forth on Sunday. So he got caught when the media called him out on it in 87. He dropped out of the race for president of the United States in disgrace in 87. because he was called out by the media for that and for all the other lies and cheating scandals and plagiarism. And then he just went back to it. And the media says nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And if they do mention it, it's a little with a little chuckle. Oh, there he goes again. Isn't it wonderful? Gee, I wonder if Joe loves electric school buses. Wow. What a pair. Wow. I mean, wow. Okay. By the way, that's courtesy of The Intercept. The Intercept put all that stuff together. All right. We're going to take a little break early here, or a break a little early, whatever. And we will. I'm very happy today for a lot of reasons, but I'm happy most not. One of the things making me happy is that, as you know, I'm a big, big New Jersey Devils fan. When I left you on Friday night, the Devils were about to play in Los Angeles against the Kings. They won that game. They set, by winning that game, they set an NHL all-time record. 17 road wins in their first 20 road games. How do you like that? 17 road wins in their first 20 road games. That's a new NHL record. Today, earlier, they played in San Jose, and they fell behind, and they were down 3-2, and with 8.8 seconds left, Jack Hughes scores his 29th goal, and they tie it up, and they win it in a shootout. Wow. So I'm happy. Anyway, I'm mad at the NHL. I have a give me a minute coming up on that this week. I watch it, NHL. You don't want to lose me. You don't want to lose me and other fans. Straighten your act out. Anyway, we'll talk about that more. Don't go away. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
Join me and help fight for them by supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. Okay, so meet the press on Sunday with Chuck Todd on NBC was pretty good. An interview with Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from the great state of Wisconsin, and they went at it on a couple of issues. And good for Ron Johnson for not just sitting there and taking it. So here, Todd is talking to him about Hunter Biden. And, oh, they're going to investigate Hunter Biden. And if you care about Hunter Biden, you should care about Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, says Chuck Todd. Here's 179.
It seems to me if you're concerned about what Hunter Biden did, you should be equally outraged about what Jared Kushner did.
I'm concerned about getting the truth. I don't target individuals.
You're targeting Hunter Biden Senator. You're targeting an individual.
Chuck. You know, part of the problem, and this is pretty obvious to anybody watching this, is you don't invite me on to interview me. You invite me on to argue with me. You know, I'm just trying to lay out the facts that certainly Senator Grassley and I uncovered. They were suppressed. They were censored. They interfered in the 2020 election. Conservatives understand that. Unfortunately, liberals in the media don't. And that's part of the things part of the reasons our politics are inflamed is we do not have an unbiased media. We don't. It's unfortunate. I'm all for a free press. Well, it needs to be more unbiased.
Senator,
there's misinformation on both sides, but the censorship and suppression
primarily
occurs from the left.
Partisan cable. Look, you can go back on your partisan cable cocoon and talk about media bias all you want. I understand it's part of your identity.
Go back to your media bias. Go back to your conservative media cocoon and talk about media bias all you want. I had Chuck Todd on in Newsmax. I could play that cut for you another time. I think I will. And he denied there was media bias to me as well. These people are out of their minds. Chuck Todd is a primo player in the media bias business. Instead of being concerned about what we know about the Hunter Biden laptop, which is what Ron Johnson is referring to when he says that him and Grassley found all this stuff back before the 2020 election, we now know that government agencies put pressure and almost demanded that media, social media outlets don't allow this discussion of Hunter Biden's laptop, falsely claiming it was Russian disinformation. Now, shouldn't that upset Chuck Todd as a member of the media, as a journalist? No. Instead, he attacks Ron Johnson for rightfully claiming that there's media bias. That's how much the left has fallen. That's how much in the bag, in the can, the left is. They will do or say anything for their agenda. Do or say anything for their agenda, and they're not believable, and you can't believe a word that they say. I'm sorry, you can't. Now here's more. This is talking about, he now goes after Ron Johnson for allegedly leading the charge to not certify the presidential election of 2020 in the Senate. This gets good too. Here's cut number 180.
I'm curious, when it comes to that brief moment where you were handed the potential of alternative electors, and you say it was a brief moment.
I wasn't.
Are you being?
I wasn't. I wasn't. I wasn't. That's false. I was never handed.
I know you weren't handed
incorrect.
It. They were asking to hand it to you, and you were contemplating it.
So Chuck,
your staffer was dealing with it.
No, Chuck, I never was. I was contacted by the attorney of the President of the United States. He had something he wanted to deliver to the vice president. Could I arrange it? So I contacted my chief of staff, who worked in the White House, see if he could do it. I had no idea what they wanted to hand to the president or the vice president. Within an hour, we found out the vice president wasn't accepting anything. End of story. Nothing was delivered. I had no idea what I was being contacted to deliver, and we never delivered it.
Have you been interviewed?
There's no story there. There never was a story there. And everything I've always said about that has proven to be true, even though the media lied about it.
Now, you heard Chuck Todd say at the beginning, you were handed a list or a document. And he says, no, I wasn't. No, he wasn't. I wasn't handed it. And then Todd says, I know you weren't handed it, but they were trying to hand it. So first he says, you were handed. And Johnson says, no, I was not handed. And he says, oh, I know you weren't handed. They were trying. What the hell? Again, how many times do I have to repeat that? Should we put that like on a little, soundbite number like WH or WTH? And every time I go hit it, we should play me saying, what the hell? And Ron Johnson now brings that up in this next bite. And good for him. Here's 181.
And Chuck, you started this questioning falsely. You falsely accused me of getting those, and I never took possession. I never had them. Okay, so again, this has been a complete smear job against me.
What?
The January 6th committee did not do their due diligence
so
like Chuck Grassley and I did during our.
You dabbled in so much of this. Do you understand why somebody might have thought you were you were willing to go along with this scheme?
I did not dabble in very much of this. It's just false.
I held a hearing in December 2020, examining the irregularities of the 2020 election. What you ought to do is go back and read my opening statement, and that pretty well lays out exactly what I thought about the 2020 election. But the news media never does that. They smear me. They lie about me. They make these things up, and then that becomes the narrative. It's a false narrative.
Good for Ron Johnson. He called Chuck Todd out. Can we just play the first? I'll tell you, like 10, 15 seconds of 185 again. I'm sorry. Of 180 again. Just listen to how he says, you were handed the document. He says, no, I wasn't. He says, oh, I know you weren't. What? Here it is.
I'm curious, when it comes to that brief moment where you were handed the potential of alternative electors, and you say it was a brief moment.
I wasn't.
I wasn't.
That's false. I was never handed.
I know you weren't handed it. They were asking to hand it to you, and you were.
All right. Okay. I know you weren't handed it, but he started by saying you were handed it. What the heck? Oh my goodness. All right. Let's move over to Fox. Fox Media Buzz with Howie Kurtz. He had on the great Peter Doocy, who asks great questions. And here are a couple of the questions, or at least one question or two that he asked recently. The first one is to Joe Biden about the Corvette and all that. It's number 182.
Mr. President, okay. classified material, next year Corvette. What were you thinking?
And by the way, my Corvette's in a locked garage. Okay, so it's not like you're sitting out in the street.
On these documents, how could anyone be that irresponsible? Isn't that what this president says about mishandling classified documents?
The president spoke to this personally.
Is there a Justice Department?
Well, let me.
How can President Biden be trusted moving forward with America's secrets?
Because his lawyers, his team did the right thing.
But he had a closet with classified information.
His lawyers did the right
thing.
Again, he was surprised that the records were there. He spoke to this.
Karine Jean-Pierre. Okay, so here's Kurtz and Doocy, number 183.
So what were you trying to accomplish by talking about how can President Biden be trusted with America's secrets?
Well, basically, President Biden told 60 Minutes that this was really bad when a different president did it. And so I was just trying to figure out why exactly, you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison with the Biden situation and the Trump situation, but it's close enough. And I was just trying to figure out why it is different when this president mishandles classified information than when another one does.
Yep. That's a perfectly legit question. And here's one more from Howie Kurtz to Peter Doocy, 184.
By our count, there were at least 13 times that Karine Jean-Pierre said that there was an ongoing process, so she couldn't comment. At least 18 times she said, I would refer you to the Justice Department or the White House Counsel's Office, knowing full well they're not commenting either. I felt some sympathy for her because they're sending her out, but they're not letting her go beyond anything that the president's already said.
Especially because she then revealed the following day that she was not involved in the decision to sit on this. Somebody in Biden world has known about this more than 2 months before they went public with it. She revealed on Friday that was not her call. And so somebody around here is making decisions about, because it's not just legal strategy, it is communications strategy. It's PR mm-hmm. for the president. Mm-hmm. And whoever it is behind the curtain, pushing that button, pulling that string, we still don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And I want to now go to 177, if we could do that in a second. Cut 177. This is Jen Psaki on MSNBC, the predecessor to Karine Jean-Pierre. And she was asked, basically, you know, what is the White House saying? Why is the White House saying nothing, basically? And here's Psaki's take on it, 177.
It would make the press secretary's job much easier every day if they could go out and just say, here's what we bet happened. This was sloppy staff work. These documents went in there inadvertently. They sort of said that, you know, from Sauber. But, you know, this Biden didn't even know about any of these documents. So this is a non-issue. What that would make it easier for the press secretary. What they've clearly decided to do is to not say much, right? They've said a minimal amount because they're trying to not anger the Justice Department. But those options are crappy, right?
Right. Crappy options. Anybody ever purchased crappy options in the market? Anyway, so that's Psaki. The options are crappy. Either you be honest with the people and then piss off, as she said, the Justice Department. It's strange that being honest would piss off the Justice Department, but okay, whatever. Or you say nothing like she's saying now. Contact my colleague at the Justice Department. Contact my colleague at the Justice Department. The president has spoken to that. The president takes classified documents very seriously. That's all she says, no matter what the question is on this. So it's kind of crazy. Okay, we're going to go back to the 185, which will be followed by 178 if we have time. So listen to this one. This is from Face the Nation on Sunday. And this is Margaret Brennan talking to Democratic Congressman Daniel Goldman. And she wants to know, what's going on here? The president's lawyers are searching for classified documents. This is something I discussed with the professor at the beginning of the show. The president's lawyers don't have security clearance to handle or look at classified documents, yet that's exactly what they're doing. The FBI and the Justice Department know that that's exactly what they're doing, and they're letting them do it. So here is cut 185.
Can you explain to me, for the search that we just laid out that was happening at the president's home, for the current president, his Wilmington home on Thursday, why would he send lawyers who don't have a security clearance to search for classified material?
I'm not sure, and we don't know the circumstances of that.
Well, my concern is that a special counsel was called for, but yet hours after that, we still had the president's personal attorneys who have no security clearance still rummaging around the president's residence looking for things. I mean, that would essentially be a crime scene, so to speak, after the appointment of a special counsel. So, you know, we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, and this is a Democrat. A Democrat with a lot of questions. That's what more and more and more of them are saying now. They have a lie. All of a sudden, this is now becoming to Democrats and to the media a poorly handled big deal. In my opinion, designed to get Biden out of there, to stop Biden from announcing he's running again. And they will succeed. They will succeed. It's a wonderful system, isn't it? Now, get a load of this. On ABC's Good Morning America on Saturday, there's a guy named Dick Lehr. He's a journalism professor, and he's an author, and he's a host of an ABC podcast. And here he's talking about a terrorist plot that was thwarted back in 2016. Okay. It was the KSF militia in Kansas. They were plotting to kill people on a mass scale. And somehow this guy, Dick Lehr, 2016, Trump was running for president. And somehow this guy blames it on Trump. Here's 178.
Because of the courage of Dan Day and the infiltration of this, you know, group of extreme domestic terrorists, the bomb was thwarted. And we just learned how this can come together. You know, we just come off the congressional hearings into January 6th. This was in 2016. And it's a precursor, almost a canary in the coal mine, so to speak. And through this compelling case, we're able to see how something like this comes together and how they're driven by such hate and bigotry, emboldened by then candidate Donald Trump, just the way the insurrectionists were emboldened on January 6th.
So these Somali terrorists, okay, the KSF militia, actually, Oh, I understand. Okay, let me just see something here as the clock ticks down on me here. KSF militia. Okay. Inside the making of a domestic terror plot. Okay. As a militia, KSF was meant to be on the defensive. She and you want. Okay. So this terrorist group was going to unleash a plot. I believe on the Somali community. And somehow this is Trump's fault. Whatever the plot was, think about it. Trump wasn't even president yet, and it was his fault. It was a precursor, a canary in the coal mine to January 6th. Folks, these people know no shame. That's K-N-O-W-N-O. No, no. All right, folks, tomorrow, Danielle D'Souza will be here. The daughter of Dinesh D'Souza, she returns, and we'll talk to her. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.